This is Andy Rainey, pastor of Blue Ash Community Church, and on this week's podcast, we continue our series, Stories. This week, we talk about fishing. To listen to more podcasts like these, simply subscribe to our iTunes or head to our website, www.blueashcc.com. Well, good morning. I'm sure like many of you, you have a three-day, or many of us, we have a three-day weekend this weekend, but it didn't come without a cost, and so I hope that as you're enjoying your barbecues later today or tomorrow, that we just take a moment and remember. My family is up at the lake house, about 2 hours north. My in-laws have a lake house, so we certainly enjoy this weekend, but it's, again, it doesn't come without a cost. So I'd like to take a minute and just recognize those men and women who've given their lives so that we can experience this freedom, and many of which I know I do. I take it for granted day in and day out, the lives that have been lost and will continue to be lost so that we can enjoy weekends like this. So let me pray for those men and women. God, just thank you just for their self-sacrifice. God, you first modeled it for us, what that looks like to be self-sacrificing. But the men and women who've sacrificed so much so that we can enjoy so much, God, honor them. God, we thank them, even those that are still serving. God, just be with us throughout this day and the rest of this weekend, and help us just remember the lives that were lost so that we can sit down and whether it's watching TV or sitting outside and enjoying a burger or whatever it may be this weekend, those that are even away on vacation, enjoying the beach, wherever they may be, God, that all came with a cost. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my name is Andy. I'm the pastor here at Blue Ash Community Church. Thanks for not going on vacation this week and joining us for our series, Stories. We're towards the end of our series, Stories, where we've been looking at different stories of the Bible. Jesus is centered in these stories. He's either in it as a main character, or he's telling a story. And we've been looking at the implications that happened that time of year or that time in biblical history, what that meant to that community, and then how does that affect us? Because there is something about a well-told story. Even this little video probably evokes something in you to help you remember all the lives that have been lost so that we can experience the freedom that we do. So a well-told story evokes emotion in us. Maybe you've even gone to a movie, and if you're anything like me, I get a little emotional. I will cry at a movie, but maybe you get angry at movies or something evokes something that you go, man, I'm not sure I believe that, but I'm going to think about that. So our hope is that these stories about Jesus do something very, very similar. They challenge who we are as Christ followers, and if you're not, maybe it challenges you to think about Christ in a way that you've never thought about before. So this week, we're going to look at a story about fishing, which seems kind of fitting for Memorial Day weekend. Any fishers? Anybody like to fish in here? There's a few of you. So I'm not a fisherman, but I was as a teenager. So I would spend a lot of time on the banks at Indian Lake, but not the lake house that my in-laws have, but a little place called Indian Lake in Batesville, Indiana. Anybody have any idea where that is? There is a couple of people. I'm impressed. So we'd go there and spend summers there. And so me and a buddy of mine, we were teenagers, and we're fishing on the shoreline one summer day, and my buddy hooks, he's using a little crankbait, and hooks a 6.5-pound largemouth bass. It's the biggest largemouth bass I've ever seen in person. So he's like, oh, I'm going to get this thing mounted. I'm like, what do you mean mounted? So we talk about this for a while. My dad come by, and they're in their golf cart, and we're talking about all this. And so there's the competitiveness, like, ah, oh, man, I wish I could catch a fish like that. And so about 2 hours later, I caught a 5.5-pound largemouth bass. So now I'm thinking, there's no way my dad is going to let me get this thing mounted. So I did what any good teenager would do. So I went home, sat in the living room, and just talked, man, can you believe that fish Jason caught? And he was like, yeah, he's going to get that thing mounted. You're like, you think if I ever caught a fish like that, I could get one mounted? I mean, what are the odds? So of course my parents were like, sure, of course you could. I was like, great, because I did. And they were like, no, you didn't. So we had to bring both fish in to show them that I wasn't using the same fish and trying to, you know, bait and switch, pun intended. And so sure enough, I got that thing mounted. Now, it's not in our living room. My wife had never let me do that. I actually had to throw that thing away about 3 or 4 years ago. It was in our basement collecting so much dust. But I did have a largemouth bass, about 5.5 pounds, mounted. Well, today's story isn't about, you know, fishermen that are catching fish to mount them. They're fishing for a living. That's what they do. They need to feed themselves, or they're making a business. They're trying to feed a community. And that's the story we're going to look at this morning. But before we jump in, if you want to go ahead and open up your YouVersion apps, if you don't have it, you can download it on your phones, your tablets, or you can simply follow along on the screen here. If you're on YouVersion, go to the events tab in there. Let me set the scene. Jesus has died. He's been crucified. He's come back, and he's starting to appear to different disciples, all of his disciples. And right before this story, there's this guy named Thomas. It's doubting Thomas, who's like, I don't believe you're really here. Let me put my finger in your holes. And that's where we get the story of doubting Thomas. That's what happened right before the story we're jumping into. So we're in John chapter 21, if you're following along, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament that simply tell the story of Jesus' life, and this is the story through the lens of John. This is what it says. Afterwards, after the doubting Thomas story, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and Cana and Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, said Simon Peter. And they said, well, we'll go with you. So they went out into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. So here's what's happening. Jesus has walked with them for 3 years. He's died. They're like, man, that was a great 3 years. What are we going to do now? And so they decide, well, we got to make a living. We got to eat. Let's go back to what we know. Let's go back to our family business. So these are professional fishermen. Anybody watch those fishing shows on TV? They're mesmerizing. Like you're going through the channel and you come on one and you're like, something about it, like, I gotta watch, see what they catch. Well, imagine you're a professional and you've been fishing all night and you've caught nothing. If you've ever gone fishing and you're catching nothing, I don't think fishing's a whole lot of fun anyway, but specifically, if you're catching nothing, it's pretty boring. Like, there's just nothing to do but just continue to cast your net. And if you're doing like the kind where you're like, if you're catfishing or putting the bobber out there, nothing's going on, I mean, that's really boring. At least if you're like bass fishing or something, you're continuing to cast and reel it in. But their efforts yield zero results. So they must have been a bit rusty. They haven't fished in a while. The story continues. Early in the morning, so they fished all night, no fish. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. So they've been fishing all night, zero luck. Imagine again, put yourself in the story. You're fishing all night. And then some guy from the shore is like, hey, are the fish biting? You catch anything? Nope. I mean, there's nothing worse than that. Like, all that effort, all that time, nothing. All night long. And then Jesus, this guy, they don't know it's Jesus, says, hey, throw your net on the right side of the boat, you'll catch some fish. Remember, these are professional fishermen. So imagine, like, there's a boat full of people. And you're like, so this guy's, hey, caught any fish? No. Thanks for asking. But I have caught nothing, actually. Well, just throw your net on the other side. Yeah, that's going to work. Like, we've exhausted everything. I can just imagine, like, the eye rolls. Like, you believe this? Let's just do it. I don't want to listen to this guy anymore. So they're like, sarcastically, because that's my mindset. That's how I would react. Like, here you go, buddy. Drop the net. Like, that's how I envision this whole conversation. Like, doesn't he know we do this for a living? This is how I imagine this going on, and this is what happens. When they did, they were unable to haul all the net in because of the large number of fish. So I can just imagine, like, the whole sarcastic thing, like, here you go. And as soon as the net hits the water, the fish are, like, jumping into the net, like, committing suicide. You know, everybody's jumping in this net. And just imagine their reaction, what that might have been like, hearing the fish jumping in there like, can you believe this? We've been out here. All we had to do was move the net over here, and we could have caught all these fish all night. And all of a sudden, they're like, who is this dude? And this is what we do for a living, and all we had to do was this? That's the scene that's going on. The fish, or the net is filling up. Their faces had to kind of brighten up. They had to be exhausted. Fishing all night with nothing, but all of that is gone. The adrenaline is returned. Then this is what happens. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. So they look, it is the Lord. And then Simon Peter does what only Simon Peter does, is like, well, I got to go see him. I'm going to jump out of this perfectly dry boat into this wet water. We were just talking about this earlier. Like, hey, Indy, you're at the lake. How's the water? I was like, I have no idea. And I won't know because I don't swim in the lake. There's something about lake water. Even growing up as an Indiana boy, I don't swim in lakes. But Peter has no problem with it. He jumps in. Imagine the scene, short of him fishing naked before that. He's putting on his garments. He jumps in, and he's swimming to the shore to get as close to Jesus as quickly as he can. That's how excited he is to see Jesus. And so when I read that and I think about that, I go, when was the last time I was that excited? When was the last time I would go, you know what, I'm going to jump in this lake to get to Jesus as quickly as I can? Can you imagine being that excited about Jesus? When Jesus says, it is the Lord, and you just get really excited. You get fired up that you get to see Jesus move in your life and through your life. Because the reality is, the other disciples that are in that boat didn't react the same way. I wonder what they were thinking as Simon like jumps in the water, leaves everything behind, and heads that way. I imagine it's a lot of this kind of stuff. Hey, don't worry about us, Peter. We'll get all these fish. Enjoy your swim. Don't worry about all the work that's still left for us to do. You go enjoy that. Go see Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, really? No wonder you're the favorite. You know what I mean? Like, he's a brown noser. That's probably some of the conversation that's going on. Yeah, remember that one time when Peter started to walk on the water and Jesus caught him? Yeah, just Peter does all these things for Jesus. No wonder Jesus loves him so much. You know, like, gotta imagine, what were those conversations like? Because we don't hear that. I mean, I'm certainly adding color to the story, but there's conversations. It's not like they're just sticking the muds like, there goes Peter, let's just go. I mean, there had to be some sort of reaction. I wonder what it was like, because they didn't have the same reaction to jump in the water. Let's listen to what they do. The story continues. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards, so it's a football field away. When they landed, they saw a fire burning of coals. There were fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught, and look who climbs in the boat. So Simon Peter climbed back in the boat and dragged the net ashore. Yeah, I'll help now. Now that you guys did all the work to get here, I'll help you pull the net up. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Obviously, this is abnormal to have that many fish in a net and it not be torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. There's so many things that are going on here. Think back to the story of Jesus feeding the thousands with fish and loaves. Jesus doing the same thing with his disciples here. Breaking the bread and giving to him. Same language as the Last Supper when Jesus talks about, hey, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. My body's going to be broken. This is my body. So there's so many symbolisms that are going on here. But there's just something about, not just Peter's excitement. I love how Jesus meets the other disciples right where they are. He doesn't say, hey, how come nobody else got out of the boat? How come you guys didn't swim here with the same excitement as Peter? He doesn't chastise them. He doesn't question them. He meets them right where they are. And what are they doing? They're going about their everyday life. Like, this is their normal. We're going to get in a boat. We're going to fish till we get some fish. We're going to go to the market. We're trying to sell some. We're going to feed ourselves. They're just going about their day-to-day life, and there Jesus is, meeting them right where they are. And he even gives them fruit for all their labor. He gives them more fish than they could have ever imagined. They catch easily their largest catch ever. And then Jesus loves them so much, he feeds them. He didn't say, bring the fish here, make your meal. He had it prepared. It was ready. And then he feeds them. Personally, I know I can get caught up in the day-to-day. The day-in, day-out routine, I love routine. One thing summer brings is no routine in our house. Like, school starts, I look forward to that. Not because I'm trying to get rid of the kids, but I love the routine that sets in motion for our family. And so it's easy for me to get caught up in the week-to-week, the day-to-day routines, and miss everything that's going on in the midst of all of that routine. How many of us go to work day in and day out, and the routine of what that looks like or what that is, and we miss the opportunity to see Jesus. Not because he's not on the shorelines of our work, but because we're so worried about trying to cast the net and make the catch that we miss the whole idea that Jesus is on the shoreline going, "It's the Lord. Just move your nets and I'll give you more than you've ever imagined." It's so easy to do. We get caught up in the entertainment or the rest or the where we're going to eat lunch or dinner, the stuff we're going to buy with the money we're making. Or for me, like this time of year, I start to read more and more about the Bengals. Like we're getting close to training camp, and I'm a big Bengals fan, so I can get caught up on that. Or how well the Reds doing. You hear about Billy Hamilton scored from first, and he scored on a single? I've never seen that before, so we can get caught up on all this. Or, boy, I'm reading these great books. Let me tell you about all the knowledge I'm gaining, all the money I'm saving, all the friendships I'm creating, all the while in the midst. Not that those are bad things. We miss Jesus on the shores of all of those, saying, "It's the Lord." You want a better relationship? Invite me into that one. You want more money? Invite me into your money. You want more knowledge? You want the right knowledge? You want more joy? Invite me into those things. I'm right here. The challenge is it's natural to look and do all those other things, and sometimes it takes purpose to look for Jesus in the midst of all of those. Maybe we're afraid that, well, I don't know if Jesus could bring more joy or more pleasure out of all of this. And if I'm not careful, if I don't put Jesus in the center of that purposefully, I will miss all that Jesus is doing in all of those things. I'm really good about creating lists. As anybody that's kind of been a part of me or around me or works for me knows, I'm a list guy. I'm really good at going, "Jesus, here's my list. Now bless this one." As opposed to going, "Jesus, what are you doing in this relationship or in this building or in our church?" And let us walk into those things. What if we flipped it? What if we did that with our relationships? What if we did that with our job and go, "God, what are you doing at work that I can kind of step into?" As opposed to me trying to force you into work. He's moving. He wants to be active in your life and through your life. The very first mission trip I ever took was to Monterrey, Mexico. We're going to be in Haiti in 12 days. Is that right? 12 or 13 days? It's going to be crazy. But the very first trip I ever went to was Monterrey, Mexico. I've been there 7 times with back-to-back. And in the midst of where that compound is they're in like these 2 mountain ranges. And it's just gorgeous. It's beautiful. And I'm always one of the first ones up when we go on a mission trip. I just love that quiet time and the stillness of the morning. And in Monterrey, the sun hits the mountains and it kind of goes up the mountain. And it's one of the most breathtaking views. It's kind of just imprinted in my mind. Like, I just don't ever want to miss that when I'm there. And I always wonder, like, how long does it take before you just take that view for granted? So you ask those questions like, "Hey, do you see the mountains?" And people that have been there for quite a while, you'll see similar responses like, "Oh, yeah, they are pretty." Like, "Oh, you missed it." Like, you missed the sun moving up the mountain, and it's like high definition. It's like imprinted in your brain. And so when you tell people like, "Hey, you want to get up in the morning, you want to see how the sun moves up this mountain, and it's just beautiful, it's gorgeous." And of course, most people there are respectful, like, "Oh yeah, I'll get up with you. Let me know." And I can tell you on one hand of the 7 trips how many people actually got up that early to see that. So this one particular morning, I'm having my typical quiet time and not trying to make this real spiritual, but there's a point here. And so I look up and there's cloud cover that's covering the most important part of this mountain range. And so you're a little disappointed. And I'm like, "Ah, man, I'm just not going to get the view that I want, you know, that I'd hope to see." So you continue on and you look up and the clouds have kind of parted. And you're like, "There it is." And it's beautiful. And you just sit there and in awe and go, "Man," you take the same picture you've taken 100 other times. And you take that picture and go, "Man, that's beautiful." So you get back to have conversations, and you look back up, and the clouds have moved back in this particular morning. And I can remember reflecting, going, "Ah, man, people that are getting up, they just missed it. Like, if they'd have been here 10 minutes ago, they would have seen that view. They would have grasped just the glory of creation in that moment." And it was as if God said to me, I truly believe, it was like, it wasn't audible, but it's how I heard it. I heard God say, "Yeah, it's easy to miss me, isn't it?" And I was like, whoa, and that was like the theme of the rest of the trip. Like you had to look for God to move in the little things so that you could see the big things. And so this story reminds me of this. It reminds me that sometimes we have to look for Jesus on the shorelines of our lives, wherever that is in our life, because Jesus is saying, it's the Lord. Do you want me to help you or not? Will you listen to me or won't you? And if we're not careful, we're going to miss what Jesus can do. Because sometimes Jesus is so subtle. Sometimes that prompting of the Holy Spirit, that little voice in you, it's the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit that's alive and well in you, He wants to speak to you. He wants to move you. He wants to change you. And some of us have enjoyed some, quote, huge catches in our life where the net just is overflowing, whether that's financially or spiritually, emotionally, whether that's physically, it's in our careers or it's in relationships that we're going, man, thank you. It's in our health. We're so healthy. We thank Jesus for it in the moment. And then time kind of slips away. And then we may not even say this out loud, but that doubt starts to creep in and we start to ask questions like this. Was that really Jesus? Maybe it was all the hard work I'd put in that I finally got that promotion. Or it's because I knew that person that got me in the door that I got that job. Or it's because of I finally went to the doctor. You know, that adjustment at the chiropractor. Whatever it is, we start to find ourselves doubting and questioning. Was that really Jesus? And we question, was he really on the shoreline? Was this all a coincidence? And some of us, if we're really honest, we're really tired. We've worked really hard. We've done everything we know how to do. We've got all of our gifts. We're the professional. We know how to get things done. We know how to do it. We've done it before, and we're just tired. We're not getting the results we once had. We're not getting the results we wanted. Our goals are falling short. We're just tired of kind of, quote, fishing. All the while, Jesus is saying, I'm the Lord. Just put the net on the other side. Put me first. Watch what I can do. Some of us have never even seen Jesus move in our lives. So the whole story of God speaking to us at this, you know, mountain range or even hearing God is a foreign concept to us. We're like, how does that happen? How do I hear God more? Well, the first step is accepting Jesus, knowing who Jesus is, who he was, what he did, and what he can do in and through your life when you're in relationship with him, which simply says, God, I'm a sinner. I'm doing a lot of things wrong. We all are. I am. I have to go and ask for forgiveness. I have to repent and say, God, I want you to be the main character in my story. I want to put a period in my story. I want to turn the page and I want to write a new chapter with you as the main character. That's where it starts. And then God will speak to you. How can I guarantee that? Because Scripture tells me so. And I believe in the Word of God. I can tell you story after story of not just me hearing from God, but even people in this room that have heard from God and walked in confidence in what he's told them. Jesus is on the shoreline of your life, waiting to enter into your life, to do things in you and through you you never thought were possible. So think about this. Some of us are on the shoreline, or see Jesus on the shoreline. We've heard from God. We even hear God now and go, nope. Eventually, this net is going to get full the way I'm doing it. I'm going to do it my way. Eventually, I'm going to catch the fish I want to catch. Eventually, things are going to work out. And we're just completely ignoring what Jesus wants us to do. Some of us know we've put the net over. Jesus has filled our nets, but we're not quite there. Like, we don't want to get to the shoreline, whether we're rowing with the oar or jumping in the water. We're like, thanks, Jesus, but we're not quite ready to put all of our eggs in that basket or that net. We're just not sure. Here's the reality. Today could be the best opportunity some of us have ever had to see Jesus. It's Memorial Day weekend. You probably walked in here and was like, where is everybody? We fully expected this. People on vacation. Maybe even considered, I may not go to church today. But this might be the day, this might be the Sunday that could be the best view. When I started to drive in at 6:15 this morning, it was foggy. About halfway through, that fog had lifted. And today, you could be in that boat and some fog could be lifting in your life right now. And you could see Jesus clearly like you've never seen him before. The question is, will you allow Jesus in? Will you invite him into your boat? Will you head to the shoreline? Or will you just see him from afar and go, someday? Some of us may not have a someday. Some of us may, something may happen when we leave here. Not something drastic, but those questions we have of, was that Jesus or is that Jesus? Is Jesus real? Could be enough to prevent us from coming back to a church, not just this church. We may close ourselves off to the idea of what Jesus can do, but not if we say yes today. Some of us have seen Jesus move in our lives. We've said, yes, it's the Lord. We've gone there, but we don't go there regularly. We keep Jesus at an arm's length, and we call on him when we need him or we want him. And Jesus is like, I don't really want to be your genie. That's not the way I operate. What I want to be is in your life. I want to lead your life. Will you trust me? And today could be the day that kind of shifts that, that changes that, that we go to Jesus first. What if today, all the doubt that you kind of walked in here with, all the baggage that we're all carrying around, what if today we could go, I'm going to leave this in the boat. All that doubt could be turned into faith because that's how Jesus operates. What if we truly believe that Jesus is Lord, that he can produce the biggest catch, a bigger catch than we could ever imagine in our marriage, that he could do that in relationships we're trying to build, in our finances, with our kids, with our careers, with our joy that we keep trying to find, with our pleasures, with our careers, with our goals, all of it. What if we really believed he had a better idea than we have? What if he wanted to give us our heart's desires and all of those things? I know sometimes I used to wonder, like, God, will, if I hand you over my dreams, hopes, and goals, will you give them to me? What if you don't? I've told you this before. My tagline in life is, I am living the dream, but it isn't mine. It's better. If it were mine, I probably wouldn't have any kids. Like when we first got married, I didn't want any. Now we have four. And they're great. I love them. They're a lot of work. It's not always fun. But I can tell you, there's not a day that goes by. I can't wait to get back to the lake and to see the little ones. They're at this fun age. They love the lake. To just spend time with them. I love my family. But that was never my dream. That was God's dream for me. This was never my dream. I never thought I would be a pastor. I didn't know who Jesus was. I never once dreamt of planting a church. But here we are. It's better than I could ever imagine. What if your goals, your hopes, your dreams, God either gives you or gives you something better? I don't think he'll do that unless we look to the shoreline of whatever that means in our lives and go, who is that man that keeps asking me to do something that's uncomfortable? Or maybe you are a little like me and you're like rolling your eyes like, that'll never work. I mean, I'm a professional. This is what I do for a living. I've tried that before. You don't think we've had that net over there at some point this, you know, over the night? Why is now going to, here we go, Lord. There you go. And then watch what he does out of obedience to what he says. Grab your Connect cards. Going to walk through some next steps. You know my heart for this little piece of paper that we fill out every week. If you come here every week, I encourage you to fill this out every week. Because what you're doing when you fill this out is saying, God, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to talk to me. I'm ready for you to speak to me. I'm ready to take a step today towards you, towards the shore and this message. If you didn't grab a Connect card in a program when you walked in, there's one in the seats in front of you, or if you're in a back row, it's right behind you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to fill this out if you haven't done so already, whatever you're comfortable with. And on the back, we're going to walk through some next steps. If one of these aren't listed and you're like, I felt like God spoke to me, like God spoke to me on that mountain range, like it's easy to miss me, write that next step down, put it in the offering when it comes by in just a few minutes. I pray over those, and if there's some kind of question we need to follow up, let us know that as well. But the first next step is this: accept Christ for the first time. Even in a room this size, it is arrogant of me to assume where you are in your relationship with Jesus. This is why this is the first step almost every single week. It is the most important decision you can ever make, is just to say yes. when Jesus is on the shoreline of your life saying, "It is the Lord," and you go, "Yes." Whether you jump in or row in, you go to Jesus and say yes to him. The second is this: get excited for Jesus. Just get excited about what he can do, what he wants to do, what he will do when we say yes to him and listen to those small little promptings, as little as they may sound or seem at the moment, and watch what he does in the little. And the last one is this: let Jesus provide. Let him provide. Quit working with all your strength, with all your might, with all you know first. Go to Jesus first. He's the one who gave you those desires. He's the one who gave you those gifts. He's the one who gave you those talents. He can multiply them quicker than we ever could on our own. He can use your little, and he can do a lot. But we have to go to him first. They're going to go ahead and take up our offering. You can go ahead and drop those in. I'll follow up anything that we need to follow up with. I'll be up here to pray for anybody. If you guys have any prayer requests, I'd be honored to pray for you. We'll be doing communion as well. The cracker represents Jesus' body that was broken. The juice represents Jesus' blood that was shed. And so when we take communion, what we're saying is, thank you. I'm going to do this in remembrance of what you've done for us. But we're also saying, God, I'm going to look for you on the shorelines of my life every day and every moment to the best of my ability. And in those moments when I've gone through minutes, hours, days, and I've forgotten about you, I'm going to do my best to recenter my life and say, oh yeah, I need to look for Jesus as I head to the barbecue tomorrow or in my family. And that doesn't mean you go, hey guys, let me tell you about Jesus. That just means you wait and listen. God will start to open up opportunities for you to step in, have a conversation, maybe pray for somebody under your breath or for them right then and right there. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for this reminder. God, thank you so much for Peter's heart for you. That he didn't care what he looked like. He didn't care early in the morning. God, it's not very warm early in the morning, but he jumps in that cold water. He swims to shore to see you. He didn't think about, I'm going to be really cold. I should probably wait. Maybe I'll just hold my clothes up and then try to swim in that way. God, he was so excited about you that he forgone everything else that he thought was important. And God, even the other disciples who may or may not have been sarcastic or passive aggressive as I tried to color it, but God, they didn't react the same way. You didn't chastise them. You didn't question them. You didn't look at them weird. You just met them right where they are. And so God, would you meet us where we are? God, would you speak to us? God, would you, in quotes, feed us these last remaining moments? Would you speak to us? Would you remind us that you are the Lord? And God, if we would just listen, if we would just put you first, that if we moved our nets wherever you tell us, that God, you will produce a crop, you will produce a catch bigger than we've ever had. God, we love you. Thank you for loving us the way you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray.